It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Good to see my friend Captain Mike.
Always good to be here and good to see you, Sean.
The award-winning FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
Absolutely.
We got the got
number
the trophy
two.
There. Yeah. Well, we have the first loser.
Yeah.
And we got
That's a great way to put it.
Now we got the award of merit for this show from the Alabama Broadcaster Association. We had the big shiny trophy and all that stuff. So,
well, that's pretty good for the first time you ever enter it.
Yeah, that is true. People say, how many years you've been entering? I said, well, we did this first year.
So, for all the sports shows in Alabama, that is really good.
So we're you know, we bribed the right judge or something like that. It worked out for us.
We ain't supposed to talk about that.
As well. So thank you to Alabama Broadcasters. Thanks to all y'all. Listen every week, and the podcast numbers are something. So people can listen to the show. You know, it replays through the weekend, but you can also listen to it when you want to. On a podcast form, our conversation last week with Colonel Scott Bannon and talking about snapper regulations and a couple other things going forward. Of course, we are just in the horse can see the barn. Snapper season not far off now. We talk about offshore fishing, too. I start thinking about this guy's name and always just got to find the windiest day possible to try to get this guy on land to talk to us. Captain Kurt Tillman from Captain Kurt Charters in on the show today. Good to see you.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
It needs to be 8-9 foot seas before you...
Man, we're ready to go. Not everybody else is.
That's probably you got to take clients and go, I don't think so.
He said he would go today, but nobody else would go with him.
That's right. It's been so, you and I were talking before we started, like in all your years of fishing, you know, you look at different springs, winter into spring into summer. This one's been windier than normal.
Yeah, it has. I mean, we've probably run a third of our trips, you know, this year. It's just the wind's just been something terrible.
Yeah, that's one thing. When everybody gets the fantasy of going, man, if I could do what they do and be a, you know, a charter captain, just think if your whatever your store was that certain days was just closed and you couldn't do business.
That's right.
I mean, nothing you could do and you couldn't do business. That's the thing. We all have this kind of eye, you know, or pie in the sky fantasy about it. And then I know enough of y'all go, you know, you're at the, I mean, you can't control everything.
Yep, that's exactly right. Good thing is most of the people that fish, they're pretty understanding about it. And if I tell somebody, hey, man, we really don't need to go, but and in the same sentence, I finish telling them, hey, if you really want to go, though, I will take you. But I'm telling you, if I tell you you don't want to go, you don't want to go.
if Kurt Tillman tells you he doesn't want to get, so when you have been able to get out there, last time you were talking to us, tuna fishing was just, you were just catching some massive tuna. Is that stood up, or is that, are they getting smaller or what?
Man, I mean, the fish have got smaller, but we've just had a stellar year on the tuna fishing as far as, the lump was a little slow, but right now, I think we've probably done, last week, we ran four trips, so we got them every time. I mean, and we're catching not only some pretty nice fish, you know, from 60 to 100 pounds some trips. And then, you know, they've dropped down in size a little bit the last couple trips. But we're going out there on some day trips, and some bait showed up now, and we're getting it done on these day trips, and it's fun. And the people don't have to go out there and spend 3 days on the water to go catch yellowfin tuna.
Right.
You know, they jet out there and we go get them and come on back. It's been really good.
You talked about bait too, and just, you know, even in the wintertime, we look at the lumps, look at the baits there. What changes this time of year? Is it they moving off of one bait fish to another, or
the water just gets warmer basically, and all that bait moves in, and we're, you know, that's the main thing right now, and especially going out in the day. You just need some live bait to be able to get it done, and you can catch a few chunking or maybe on a popper or whatever.
But what was the thing you were fishing with before? We were talking about during the boat show, an artificial that was, was that thing?
Then you said that was no live bait needed.
Yeah.
And over there at the horseshoes,
You said it was, I mean, it was amazing, huh?
It was exceptional. The bad thing about it is once you get a bite with it, I mean, that it's not a, it's a kind of expensive bait once you get a fish.
Describe it to me. What is it? Is it a jig?
Man, it just looks like a big grub. You know, basically that's all it is. It's just an oversized grub with a, some of them's got a squiggly tail. Some of them's got a split tail. And you can throw other ones out there, and they just don't have – and you can pull this thing through the water, and you look at it, and you, it's – they got it designed where it makes a certain swim pattern, and it – I mean, if I was a fish, it looked like something I'd eat.
Right. You'd bite it. Okay.
Yeah. So is it a bait that you cast?
Yeah, you just cast it out, or you just drop it down and work it back up. And a lot of times they hit this thing while it's falling. Now, it was effective. It worked very good over there at the horseshoes, maybe with the certain bait, you know, with
what they were feeding on.
I haven't wholly caught anything with it at the rigs, but we're not using it a whole lot.
It's pretty much a live bait game right now.
Yeah, live bait. We caught some chunking and live bait, and even diamond jigs we caught some.
So you said the bait has shown up. So you're talking about hardtails pretty much or?
Just L-wise, these little different minnows and stuff like that, cigar minnows.
So have the hardtails showed up so far?
You catch a few. But
you hear the kingfisherman here, right? Yeah. Where the hardtails?
Yeah, they're
well, no, I mean, that's good for tuna, too. Yeah. I mean, it's all.
Believe it or not, I mean, if you go out there with a horn belly or a
cigar minnow?
Not a cigar minnow.
Herring?
Like a herring or a you know, something like that. Real flashy looking fish, you can have a lot. And they're not hardly eating a hardtail right now. I don't know why, but I mean, they just.
It's wild for somebody like me who doesn't go do this very much to think. Because I think tuna, I mean, they're going to eat anything in the water. They're chasing them down. And to think that they just go, nah, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat this, you know, I don't want that hardtail. I want, you know, this herring.
Yeah. But, hey, they'll eat croakers. I mean.
I stopped myself from asking that question because I thought I was going to sound stupid. I was going to say, hey, what about croakers?
I mean, we went out there, and another bait was out there. And, man, the bait's been tough. So they had 150 croakers, and I had a little net. We just dragged a net because we couldn't get any bait, so we just dragged this little 10-foot troll and catch some bait, and we went out there and, you know, throw half a bucket full of croakers out there, and guess what? Them tunas blowing up on them, and you clean them. They got them croakers in them. I mean, they will eat them, but, I mean, they're not – we didn't catch any on the croakers. We tried a couple of them. Well, actually, we did catch two one time. But you know, if you can't find anything else, hey, we'll eat them, you know. I guess it depends on how hungry they are. And the funny thing about it is out there most of the time when we go look around these rigs, I want to fish where I'm marking a considerable amount of fish. And here lately, I'm not having to mark that big old bunch of fish, just a few fish here and there, and you put out the bait on them, and we've been catching them like that. Just I'm not going to say singling them out, but just not having to mark that big group of fish or whatever. The ones that's been there, they've been hungry and they've been eating, and I don't know why, but it's been the tuna fishing has been really good.
So okay, that's interesting. So something has changed their appetite or something that. You don't have to, I mean, earlier on, you'd have to mark a whole bunch of fish to get in a bite, where
yeah,
now
it seemed you like you did. And right now, it's the fish that are there just seem like they're more aggressive, per se.
Okay.
And they're eating, you know, they're just eating your bait. So, and it's not like we're just marking them everywhere, seeing no giant pile of them, but the ones that are there, seem like if you run over and mark a fish, you chum him up and I'll be darned, you got him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kind of that thing, you mark two or three, and you might have a double.
Yeah. So the lumps, are they about done now, or is still some fish there?
Yeah, as far as I'm pretty sure, I haven't been over there in a month or so, but I'm pretty sure it's done. Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you, I mean, if they move forward, you don't have to, right? I mean, are the fish, tuna, getting closer?
Well, I mean, they're pretty much all over the place right now. I've caught them at Rampow, Marlin, all those drill ships. I had a bluefin on took all the line off the reel one day out there. I mean,
there's
some fish out. There's a lot of fish out there right now. If you get the opportunity to go, it'd be a good time to go. And better yet, you can just go with me.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
Unless he tells you, you probably don't want to go today.
Yeah.
you mentioned bluefin. That's you hear the stories and see pictures of bluefin coming in once. What are they? In the same, I mean, I know obviously right here, that is, but are they in the same places as yellowfin, or do they want something different? Or
I think they're pretty much in the same places, but they caught one over at the Fads, and they're catching at some of these drill ships out there on the other side of Horn Mountain, and then they caught a blind face, always like one of the spots for them. I mean, I don't. For whatever reason,
it's just something they like.
A little bit deeper water, I think, is what they like. But I'm surprised they hadn't shut it down yet, because it's been several of them caught.
I was fishing with Mark Candy last Friday, and we was in 300 something foot of water, deep dropping, and we had a bluefin come up beside the boat. It had a line in its mouth. It could have been yours. I don't know. But it looked like a longliner cable or something. I didn't get to see it, but Mark and a couple of other guys came right up beside the boat and swirled and went off. But anyway, he said it was 600-800 pounds.
Wow. We're going to run the break, come right back.
Right.
More with Captain Kurt. Kurt Tillman from Captain Kurt Charters right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And glad to have Captain Kurt from Captain Kurt Charters in. He was, the wind blew enough to keep him off the water long enough to talk. We'd have him on board, but he's usually offshore and not on the shore during those days. Tuna fishing, still consistent. Talked about those bluefin. Mike said you had a brush with bluefin the other day.
Yeah, the guy fishing off the bow of the boat saw it. He said, man, there's a big fish just flashed, and it had silver sides, and we didn't know what it was. And then Mark Kendi and one or two of the other guys were back in the back of the boat, and he came by them and said, man, that was a tuna, that was a bluefin tuna. He said 600-800 pounds, so I don't know, had a cable or a line hanging out his mouth.
Wow. Right. So, and you said y'all got spooled the other day.
Yep, we did. I don't know if it was mine, but it could have been.
Hey, you
got
a
lot of line. The one we had's got a lot of line.
Yeah.
I mean, he got a mile of it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's hard to stop a bluefin tuna. It really is. I know years ago when people would go out and try to catch a bluefin, I'm talking about years ago, 40 years ago, they would hook two, like 80 or 130 reels together trying to catch one.
Together,
hook them together. And
what you would do?
Because I'm trying to figure out two hooks, or you put them in line.
You got a leader out, and you hook two reels to
the same
to the leader. Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike double barrel them. I thought you were talking about if you get one and he's taking all your line off, you just tie your other reel.
No,
off and chunk it over.
They
the
got
side.
two reels fighting on one leader. Yeah.
And you said something, I know it's a thing, but a lot of people might not. You said you're surprised they hadn't closed it down. There is a quota, right?
It
kicks in at a certain point, and then they shut the possession down for bluefin.
Yep. And I don't know the specifics on it. Somebody else probably does, but, they cut it down after they catch so many fish or so many pounds of them or whatever it is. Not a whole lot of them in the Gulf that they're allowed to catch, so. You only got a short opportunity once people start catching them. It's that time of year right now to.
It could just be a couple more. They could say
that's it.
And,
normally that's like March, April, May. That's typically, I think,
that
bluefins. Isn't that right?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's when I've known them to be caught mainly is March, April, and May. Not to say that there's not some in June or whenever, but
yeah,
March,
and
April,
usually
and May.
After that, if they do show up, I think it's already shut down. So.
Yeah,
that may be the That's the reason we might not hear about it because you can't possess after that point.
Yeah.
Also on trips, you know, doing a lot of tuna fishing, but you know, I can't go through this conversation without talking about deep dropping and my obsession on this. Mike, you said y'all were deep dropping the other day, right?
We did. Mm-hmm.
You're doing good.
Yeah, we had a good trip. Caught a limited bee liners and caught several grouper and several scamp, and of course caught an amberjack and one nice ling, probably about 40 pounds, and then caught some real nice red snapper.
we'll get
you know,
to snapper
that's
talk.
A problem.
Well, we'll get to snapper talk here a little bit, but on the deep drop. What are you seeing this year? How's this been compared to last year or years before?
It's probably been pretty close to the same. Beeliner bite's been real good. There's a lot more amberjack. The commercial guys have got a 7-fish limit now instead of like a couple thousand pounds, so it's really helped. And, I mean, if you go out there fishing a lot, even on your close-in reefs trying to catch snapper and stuff like that, you're going to see abundance of smaller jacks and all that. So the jacks have really made a comeback, and pretty much all your shelf rigs pretty loaded with them. If you got a hard tail and you go out there, make yourself a long leader, and when he eats it, run off from there and get him on up, because there's some really nice jacks out there right now.
Yeah, we have the rest of this month here, unless something's changed, to keep amberjack.
That's right.
Through Memorial Day weekend.
That's right. You get to fish through the end of the month.
Yeah, through the end of the month. And I don't know yet, is that Monday, is that June, or is that y'all, like we always tell you, look at the Fish Rules app. I think it actually might end on, I have to see the calendar, so it's the last day. No, 30 days has September for June.
Trigger fish still open,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so we're getting, at least that last weekend, it's like it's happened a couple times, we get that snapper, amberjack, trigger fish for 3 days.
Yeah, everyone else gets that, but not us.
Yeah, we get one little window.
Yeah,
the June 1st is on a Saturday, so
okay,
I'm
so
not
it's
sure.
The next. Okay, we're good then. So it's still So you're good.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
Memorial Day is 24th, 25th, 26th. Okay, that's right.
So we're gonna actually get 2 weeks that we can catch on a Friday and Saturday. We'll be able to catch amberjack and mm-hmm. trigger fish the next weekend
okay.
opening weekend snapper season.
Very good.
Yep.
So you know, you're talking about catching grouper, talking about catching beeliners deep dropping. What about like tile fish and all that? Is that way further out? I mean, I know when I've done it before, we've been pretty deep.
Well, it depends on what kind of tile fish you want to catch. If you want to catch like blue line tile and gold face tile and stuff like that. But if you go over to the east and you fish in the 400 to 600 range, that's what you're going to catch. And you pick up a few straight south of here, but there's a lot more of them over to the east, like straight off Orange Beach on that bottom over there for whatever reason.
I was going to say, why is that, Kurt? Why do you think it's...
I just think it's... There's more bottom for it, more...
is it hard? I mean, it's just rock or whatever?
Yeah, it's a lot more rocks over that area, and it's the bottom's more acceptable to them or something.
Okay.
And then if you want to catch a golden tile, they're generally like 600-plus, you know, they catch them out there sword fishing, 1,200 foot or whatever. They're just in the deeper water for the most part. Now, you'll catch... you know, a stray here and there, but generally that's what you're looking at.
So 400 to 600 is like blue line, and then 600 out.
600 plus, you can catch the golden tile most of the time, yeah.
Do you fish much of that 600 foot and deeper?
It just depends. If you go fishing with me, everybody gets to fish, like all six people, and I'm dropping six electrics every time.
God bless you.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, you get tangled up more the deeper you go, but it depends on if somebody, what they want to catch. You know, some people, I went over there probably 2 weeks ago, and I went to the east, and we had a good trip, and we caught five or six longtail sea bass, five or six tile fish, 13 grouper, and limited bee liners, and you know, it's kind of, and when you're catching all that other stuff, we caught some big eye snapper and some other stuff. So mm-hmm. we caught just an assortment of different stuff that most people don't ever get to see because they don't ever fish in that deep of water. But I was fishing kind of like under 600 foot. I went on out to a little bit deeper one time, but we just caught a bunch of white snapper and stuff, and they was chewing pretty good, and they were bigger white snapper, but I didn't get any barrel fish or anything like that on some stuff I've caught them on before, and we were trying to get a barrel fish.
Yeah, to make sure you got all the snot possible on the boat, whatever that slide.
We still had a good trip over there. That place over there gets hammered pretty hard, but it's got a lot of fish on it. The size of, you know, once you catch one of them grouper, there's no size limit on them. They're done once you reel them up from that depth of water.
And you catch in on those grouper, are you talking about like yellow edge or
snowy? Yellow edge, okay. Yeah. The snowies and yellow edge. So I kind of feel bad about it sometimes because you catch some really small ones sometimes mm-hmm. over there. And you just don't know. So you got to fish that spot. And, you know, you could go drop down and catch a 30-something pounder on the same spot. I mean, it's just one of them things when you fish and you can't, you don't know that little bitty. That little bitty grouper's got a huge mouth, so he's going to eat that bait if you put it in front of him. So sometimes we catch some smaller ones over there, but we still had a good trip and caught, you know, several in the, you know, 10-pound range. But
What baits are you using doing that deep drop? Are you just doing squid?
I use a 4-pound weight, and everybody uses the same weight, 4 pounds. And if you can't get down with the 4-pound weight, you don't need to be fishing. Because, you know, if it's streaming behind a boat with 4 pounds, it's just, you might as well not even do it.
Because that current's running just so hard.
The current's running too hard. And this year, though, it's been, I hadn't done a lot of deep dropping. Everybody's been wanting to go tuna fishing. But that's what I fish with is a 4-pound weight. And if the tide's taking it away with 4 pounds, you need to run somewhere else or move up the hill or farther out, try to get away from the current.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation? Because is it that the currents could be so different within a mile or two, or you can go back up the hill, you know, go shallow? What are you going to do?
Man, I've run as far as 30 miles before trying to get
away from
it. Yeah. And, you know, during the full moon, it's usually running a little harder one way or the other. So,
but you're saying that's a good tip. You're not going to sit there and keep trying.
You're done. I mean, you
go find somewhere else.
And the tide's just running 6 or 7 mile an hour, or whatever it's doing. It's just screaming sometimes out there. You cannot fish that. I mean, you. I guess if you were maybe fishing for tilefish or fishing an area that you just drifting on bottom.
You're not trying to hit a specific,
But you could only fish on one side of the boat. And me, most of the time, I've got several people on there. So, I mean, it's just a no-go for me. And I don't like, I like basically holding up on a spot and fishing some kind of structure or something down there that I can, you know, just target the fish on that spot instead of just drifting around looking for whatever.
Yeah, I'm just picturing this. So we're ahead of the break and come back. But I'm picturing this just normal fishing that I do, a lot shallower, with maybe 4 people snapper fishing and kids and the wrecks I've had for stuff getting tangled.
Yeah.
You're running how many electrics at one time?
Yeah, we're running 6.
6 that could be 400 to 600 feet down. Makes me sweat thinking about the
tank. When you get one of those tangled up, you got a mess.
You got it. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all along. And our buddy Captain Kirk from Captain Kirk Tillman from Captain Kirk Charters. You find him. I think he's ever. Are you on? I mean, I know you're on Instagram. I know you're on Facebook. Are you on that TikTok thing? You TikToking?
No.
Okay. The Chinese aren't. I'm not getting enough time
keeping up with everything.
I'm about to say the Chinese are trying to get his information. They're trying to get government secrets and his fishing spots at the same time. He's not on TikTok, but on the other platforms. go check them out for sure. Okay, we talking about deep dropping, but let's come back up the hill a little bit. Let's go shallower. The stuff that I, by the way, I wear Kurt out about this all the time. I'm the world's worst beeliner fisherman. I've told Mike. Mike's tried to take me under his arm. Give me a school. Give me beeliner school here. As a guy who grew up catching red snapper and occasionally beeliner to wanting to focus on them, what do I need to do?
Well, what we do is we use 3-hook rigs on electrics for the most part, and use a small circle hook and just a small piece of squid and set it down to the bottom. Now, sometimes you can catch them up in the water column, but that's the easiest way to do it. And I mean, a lot of times, as soon as it hits, you're getting a bite.
But what depth water do you consider now? I'm in. I mean, I know there's stories. I mean, I've caught beeliners before on the Bridge Rebel, but they're a mistake. I mean, where do you start saying, all right, this is beeliner water?
Well, we get a lot of 6-hour trips, especially like this time of year, spring break for a lot of northern places, and we get all these people down. They just want to do a 6-hour trip, and literally, there's nothing to keep us outside. Well, now that before Amberjack opened, right. I mean, you basically got to have beeliners and trigger fish. So, mm-hmm. They really don't. I really don't really start getting them to like 140 foot or something like okay. that, where we're not just fighting snapper all the time. And that's about the best starting point. And they go on out to 400 foot after that. I mean, you probably your best area is around the 200 foot mark, 160 right now. They're all spawning, so they're up the hill a little bit. And there's really big ones out there right now. So it's because they've moved in a little closer. And we caught some super nice ones lately.
And structure, I know we talk live bottom and all that, but structure-wise, people have always told me bigger structure than, like, they find them more on a bigger wreck than they would, like, on a pyramid. Is that
Yeah, you true, catch or? Them on pyramids, but they seem to be a lot more fish on the bigger structures, like the big rock and area. I mean, when I had a Hatteras, I mean, we've anchored up on the big rock and just wore them out. I mean, you know, we would just catch them on single hook rigs because they'd be bigger, like up in the water column. And we'd just sit on the back of the boat in the evening time and catch them. And, you know, it was fun. But I think you can catch them on pyramids too. But, you know, if you want to catch a bunch, and you can mark them. When you go pull up on a spot, if you've been fishing a lot, and you'll see it. It'll be like a little bit fuzzier looking mark with a bunch of little red dots on it and all this stuff. And you can actually mark those beeliners. And right now, when you pull up, you'll see it like a school of fish around these wrecks, and they'll usually be 20, 30 foot off bottom, and there's your beeliners, you know. Yeah. And a lot of times, the beeliners, and there'll be jacks over them a lot of times too on these bigger structures, and you'll be able to see a lot of these wrecks. Another thing too, you can go catch beeliners on a spot today, and you'll be like, oh boy, man, weather's going to be good. I'm going to go right back there tomorrow. And guess what? They gone.
Okay.
They move around.
that right there is a big takeaway for me, because I finally had a spot that last year that was this bang-up spot, right? And so I was already, I mean, I had pre-cut the squid. We were going to get after them, son. And we didn't catch a beeliner.
Yeah, and that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with them. They move around a lot. And
because we don't think about that with red snapper. We're like, well, if they're there last week, we'll come back next week, and they're going to be there unless they got fished
off.
They're
definitely a whole different fish than a red snapper. They move around a lot, but that area that you caught them in, sooner or later they're going to be back there, and it's going to probably be a good spot again. But they do move around a lot. And sometimes if you go out there, just keep on bouncing around trying some more spots, because I've been out there so many times, and they're just not – those fish will be on like one or two rocks in a group of 10 or 15, you know, but they're only biting good on like a couple of them. Sometimes you got to move around and look for them. And like this time of year, your smaller beeliners are a lot of times are offshore, and your bigger ones are on up the hill, which is kind of backwards from what most people would think.
Yeah.
They're in there spawning right now, and the bigger ones are, you know, up the hill a little bit farther.
I mean, if you'd have quizzed me on that, I'd have failed that. I'd say, well, the big ones are deeper and the smaller ones are shallow. but it's the inverse of it. What about scamp and the kind of that the same zones, or what do you do for scamp fishing?
Scamp, you know, definitely your live bait, cigar minnows, small hardtails, pinfish, just L-wise, whatever you got that's like, you can catch them on croakers. That's not my bait of choice, but you can. And I just, you could send down like a sow rig. I just use like a three-way setup on them. And then I catch a lot of them on just whole squid, too. I mean, that's a good, just a good solid bait all the way around. If you
depth-wise, is it starting at 140 or is it deeper? Is it 200? How like, where do you say, okay,
yeah,
we're
in. Yeah, it's about the same thing about, I mean, I've caught them in close, but most of the time, 140 on out, maybe 160 and on out. But I've caught them on, caught some really big ones, you know, in 140 on snapper wrecks, just going to the bottom. And but most of the time they're on out in that 200 range.
And do you, we talked about, to the size of a wreck, does that ever seem to matter on scamp? Because, or do they want a bigger place, smaller place, or either or?
Scamp fishing is kind of different. I don't know if they all get together at certain times or whatever, but a lot of times, and I'll have some rocks that I can go to just about any time, and some spots that I can catch scamp at, and they're just generally always in that area. And last year and the year before I had a spot, and it was just one spot. And I know everybody will think I'm joking about this, but the guys that work with me, they can tell you I probably caught 200 scamp off one spot. And I mean,
that is
wow.
Kind of crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was you just go down there. Later on, they got smaller in size, but it was just, I mean, you could catch you could catch a limit there in no time, and we'd just go by it and pick up, seven or eight or whatever. And if I have a good trip, or especially out here, I try to at least get 10, but a group or on a trip or whatever. But we had a spot out there, and then I had another spot last year. We probably caught, I don't know, over 100 on one spot, but it's just, I don't know if they all get together or what the science is on. I have no idea. But, sometimes you'll find a spot that's just got them. That's all I got to say about it.
Well, yeah. By the way, I'd like to find one of those spots. That's what I got to find.
But when you fish about every day, you usually find them.
You find them for sure.
Yeah.
And then with doing this, fishing this time of year, like Mike was just saying, had to work through the red snapper. You've talked to us over the years where you, I think it was last year, you said it didn't seem as, even going into the season, you said it didn't seem as good. Does it seem better now?
Everyone that fishes out there, a lot of
it was tough for me, but I don't go every day.
Last year was a off year, really off. This year, it seems like it's going to be better. I mean, I think it is. I haven't really fished a bunch of straight up snapper spots that I fished during snapper season, but I fished a bunch of spots just trying to catch trigger fish, and spots that's and even public spots, a bunch of pyramids off to the east, a lot of them's got some good fish on them right now. So I was surprised at the amount of mid-sized snapper we're catching, like 5 to 10 pound snapper. Mm-hmm. Because it seemed like last year you didn't catch them, and this year
I measured fish all last season. I measured fish.
Right.
I mean, I'd say from the deck, Mm-hmm. I didn't see I got Cruiser plenty happy with a 5-6 pound snapper, but we just weren't seeing them.
Yeah, well, this year I've seen a lot more of that, like that, I call it the missing size. I mean, either you caught a small one or you caught a real big
mm-hmm.
one last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you either caught a barely keeper or you caught a 15-pounder. Mm-hmm. And this year I'm seeing a lot more of the, that mid-sized fish.
That's good
news. Nice fish, you know what I'm saying? And last year, I don't know what happened to them. Everybody said, oh, well, they moved to the east. They moved to the west. I don't know where they went, but they weren't around. And the numbers just weren't there last year like they have been in the past. I mean, I just.
So you feel better going in this season than at this time last year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a better year for the snapper. And even offshore, I mean, the other day we was out there fishing, man, we caught some hammer snapper out there in the deep water, like some big ones, you know.
That's what we did too Friday, and we caught some really nice snapper, you know, 15, 18 pounds, 10, 12 pounds.
How deep were you?
250 to 350.
Okay.
In that deep water.
Again, that's what they always say, that that's the stock that helps replenish everything. You know, those that don't get hit as much out there.
That's right.
When they replenish and go in. But I'm happy to hear, believe it or not, about those 5 to 7 pound more than the big ones. Because that was, I mean, you're singing and you fish every day. I don't do that, but I fish different areas. But that's exactly what happened with us last year. Either we were measuring a fish or it was once a trip, it was a stud. But those just 5 to 7 pound, they just weren't there.
Right. Well, they're around this year. I mean, I think it's going to be a difference. A lot of times, like we was talking about in the past, like 3-4 years ago, people didn't even have to go. I mean, I very seldom went over 30 miles on a snapper trip. We caught piles of big fish.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it was a storm, exactly what happened. I mean, that end of the, you know, end of the last of the season, I'd went out to some of those spots at 30 miles. Went back to them the beginning of the next season where I've caught just giants. Nothing. Caught one or two, and it was done. It was
I experienced exactly the same thing.
Yep.
Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. I guess the only advantage to wind hawking is that we get Captain Kurt in.
Absolutely.
So there is a silver lining to every gray cloud. It's always great to have Kurt Tillman from Captain Kurt's Charters on. I wonder, you and Mike,
this will be a great podcast here. This one will be rated high.
Yes, yes. And although it depends, because people might get enough tips here. They go, I'm not going to share it with my boys.
Yeah.
Be like, and then they can, you know, go out and amaze their friends with stuff they learned. Like, oh, I don't know, I've always known that. You and Mike were talking off air about boats, which we all do, and you're talking about this aluminum boat. So you're leaving the world of fiberglass. What's happening here?
Well, it's just I'm getting a big aluminum cat hole, and it's gonna have second row seating, and it's just going to be a nice, practical charter boat. And it's standing, if y'all have seen pictures of it, I don't know, you might have, but me standing on the ground, from the boat sitting on the ground to the side of the boat, is 9 foot tall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it ought to be a pretty dry boat. It's got second row seating, and it's going to be nice for everybody. And if I'm not the one that says anything if somebody bangs a weight on the boat or whatever. So it'll make me feel better about not getting a piece of fiberglass chipped out the side of it and just make a loud noise.
When you start talking about those 4 pound weights, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's going to be really nice. And a lot of other guys in Louisiana has been running for a few years now.
What kind is it?
It's a Razor Cat.
Okay. And it's how big?
It's 40 foot.
So 40 foot, 9 foot up. Wow.
Yeah. How wide is
it? 12 wide.
12 wide. And who? Where is it built?
New Iberia.
New Iberia, okay.
Yep.
So you're getting the boat wrapped right now.
Yep, and Gulf Coast Graphics.
Gulf Coast Graphics, yep.
They do a good job.
Matter of fact, I was there earlier yesterday.
Do you think you'll be fishing out of that boat this summer? Or when do you think?
I'll be fishing out of that boat in 10 days.
Okay.
Well, so I know you just got your motors hooked up.
Yep.
And what did you put on the back of it?
Put the Yamaha 300s, four 300s with the power steer and stuff.
Oh, yeah, with the electric steer. And then
so I
guess you got the Ham Master. Did you get the Ham Master?
No, but I'm going to get it. I didn't get it.
No, is it Ham?
Ham.
It's a little joystick.
For a second, I thought.
Joystick, Ham Master.
Okay, I heard Ham Master out of you, and I was thinking, that's the thing they got at Honey Baked Ham.
That's
what
you
say,
frog.
Okay, Ham Master. Now, what does it do?
It's just a joystick control, and you got a button you can push. It kind of holds you there.
And it's like a spot lock for your big engines.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I think for you charter fishing all the time, that would have to be a really good thing. I just got it on my boat, and I haven't used it yet, but I am excited to go out and use it. Fished with Mark Kennedy last Friday, and he's got it, and it sure is nice. I mean,
did he use it?
Yeah, he used it. Yeah,
does it only work on the electronic steering?
Yeah,
you can't. So if you have
you got to have electronic steering.
Okay, that saves me some money.
Yeah. And it's a lot of money, too. Let me tell you, it is not cheap for that Houndmaster. It is very expensive. You can buy another motor for just about what the Houndmaster system costs.
Well, for us poor boys, it's with that spot lock had done, you know, the fact that for years never being able to actually get the snapper fish, just hold the boat in position while everybody else fished, it was nice to be able to, like, Dad gets to fish, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, catching bait. Just pull up to a spot and catch bait, and you push the button, and the boat stays there, and you're able to run around, take bait off of other people's rods, or you get to fish. Or, I mean, it's going to be
nice. Oh, it's selfish
nice.
For me. I get to fish.
And for Kurt, you know, charter fishing every day out there, it would, I think, would really be an advantage. One thing, once it gets to holding in that right spot like you're talking about, you got to stay in that same position. You can't let your boat circle around on you or everybody's going to get
deep dropping, yeah.
Yeah, deep dropping. I think it would really be an advantage for you.
I think a lot of times they hold up in reverse.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah, most of the time you hold up in reverse.
Yeah.
You know, if the current's not running hard, you can do bow, but most of the time bow into it. But most of the time you want to do it in reverse because all your weights are going towards the front of the boat instead of towards the back of the boats with your motors. So that's why everybody
I can't wait to go with both of y'all to see that thing in action. And I get the fact that I have old school engines. I don't have to risk the money spending myself. So it's good. Captain Kurt, tell folks how to get in touch with you, get a trip booked.
You can look me up on Instagram at Captain Kurt T or Facebook. Yep, Captain Kurt Charters, or just call me 251-288-1003. Be happy to take y'all out and
the new boat, man, it's gonna be exciting. Good to see you. Next time the wind blows, I'm gonna call you again, okay?
Call me again.
All right, good stuff. We'll do it again next week. Y'all have a great one.